got Caroline Wood in front of me. Caroline, you were saying that's your alarm in the morning, Chelsea.
It is, yes, yes.
You have got it bad, haven't you?
Yeah, bad since 1970, so...
Since 1970 you've been supporting Chelsea FC.
Yeah.
Did you live locally to Chelsea, was that
why? No, I actually... I grew up in rural Norfolk, actually.
So how did you end up supporting Chelsea?
Well, the girls were encouraged to become more interested in football at school because there was a Canadian exchange teacher called Mr. Berry, who I remember very well. And I don't think there were even a boys' football team at the time, but he got it all organised. And although there weren't girls' teams at the time, and I wouldn't have been any good anyway, he did get the girls involved, and we all got really keen on, you know, supporting the boys' teams. And I think there were four. And so that's how I really got interested in football. But Chelsea were in the FA Cup final that year, and it was kind of a divided playground. So you were either Chelsea or you were Leeds, so because they were the finalists. And so, and they were bitter rivals anyway. So, and I just somehow knew I was Chelsea. So that's
and
it
stuck
happened.
Because, you know, I was in love with David Soul when I was a young girl, but I'm not anymore. But you're still a Chelsea supporter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Thick and thin, diehard and all that. And, you know, my son, Chris, he's 31 now and he grew up Chelsea. We won't talk about my daughter's team, but that's got complex reasons for it. She does support another team, but that's up to her, you know.
And you have, looking at your webpage, you have these superstitions that you go through before a match.
It's not unusual for football fans, actually, to have...
Talk us through a few of those.
Well, if we get a winning run, then I don't change the scarves I take to a match. My husband, who's known as Mr. Non-Footy in my football community, says... why do you need to take all those scarves with you? But he doesn't understand. If we're losing, I can, you know, I've always got the option of putting the other scarf on. And
yeah, and no, I am with him. Is there something about hand blowers as well? What, talk me through that.
The hand blowers?
Yes, don't you use, blow your both of your hands? Or don't
Oh, the hand dryer.
Yeah, of course. Well, go on.
Yeah. Not so many people, well, they will know about it now because I've mentioned it, obviously, but... I've only got one friend who really knows about that at matches and sort of picked up on it. And my friend Siobhan would say, you're doing it again, aren't you?
And what are you doing? You're blowing
I'm
your...
Kind of, if there's two adjacent hand dryers, I just have to swap them over, you know.
You do?
Swap my hands over under the dryer. I know, and I know full well that none of this makes absolutely any sense whatsoever. We still do these stupid things.
Well, how long have you been writing? Let's bring the other part of your life in. How long have you been writing?
Oh, since I learned to write, really. I've been writing poetry since,
always,
you know,
poetry,
five.
Is it? Yeah.
Not always poetry, no. Short stories and other types of writing. But poetry's, I think it's always my first love, really.
So I suppose it was inevitable that the two would... come together at some stage.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a teenager, I did actually handwrite a book of 42 poems to send to the Chelsea 1977 promotion-winning side.
Did you send them?
I did, and I got a letter back from the chairman at the time, Brian Mears, the late Brian Mears. You know, he was very kind about them. Whether the players ever got to read them, I don't know. But it was nice of him to write back anyway.
So now you've got a book. You've got a book of these poems. How did that come about?
It came about really through... I'd done a bit of Chelsea poetry over the years. And now with, you know, social media, you can get it out there a bit more. And the season before last, I'd... tweeted one or two poems, and at the beginning of the very bad season that Chelsea had, I'd tweeted this poem, and it you know, it got retweeted quite a lot. And a good friend of mine, Mr. Mark Worrell, really lovely man, fellow Chelsea supporter, he read it and he sent me a message and said, I think we should, you know, maybe think about getting a book of your Chelsea poetry together, because he runs a small publishing company and he's published one or two other Chelsea writers but never poetry before, and he thought it might make something a bit interesting. So, and I said to him, funny you should say that, Mark, because I was thinking of approaching you because I'd had this idea about writing a poem per game.
Per game.
Yeah, with one or two others thrown in between.
That's quite a challenge, isn't it, Carol? After every game to write a poem. Not for you.
It wasn't, actually. It wasn't always a very happy place to come back from a game. But then, you know, people who do blogging, Chelsea blogs, it's similar for them. You know, because if it doesn't go your way and you're fed up, you've still got to write about it.
So. I just wonder if you might run out of words, that's all, to, you know, you're describing, what, 22 men on a
well,
pitch.
Well, yeah, I'm not actually describing the actual play. You know, it's not like so-and-so passes to so-and-so or exactly. It's more the emotional side. So I don't think a football supporter will ever run out of emotions.
And I suppose you can, like Nick Hornby did in Fever Pitch, you can use football as a metaphor for
bigger things. Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, a lot of my verse is a bit cryptic. but what I've done is I've put in a little explanation ahead of each poem, just so that if anyone who's not actually a Chelsea supporter wants to read it and identify with it, they can do so, you know, because every person who's a football fan can identify with the you know, the raw emotion that we feel.
And what reaction have you had?
I've had a really good reaction, actually. It was a bit scary putting myself out there because, you know, football and poetry is not, I mean, it has been done before, not necessarily a poem per game, and certainly I don't think any Chelsea supporter has done the same. But it's not something that you'd normally associate with one another.
They're not obvious partners.
Not obvious partners, no. So, you know, a lot of the Chelsea Facebook groups that I belong to, you know, they're full of, like, really tough guys who've been around, you know. I mean, OK, I've been a supporter for a long time too, but they're not all people that you'd think might like reading poetry.
But
so I was a bit worried about negative reactions, but I didn't get any negative reactions whatsoever.
And have you had any reaction from the team, from the manager, dare I say, from Lady Karen?
that would be very nice, wouldn't it? I have tweeted it to a few ex-players, and a few ex-players have retweeted it. But they're much closer to the supporters than the modern player, really. You know, it's harder to get. To communicate with the players as they are now.
They're behind several layers, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, having said that, I did have a short personal video from David Luiz the other week, which absolutely, because I have this probably unhealthy obsession with him at the moment. So now I just think he's great and I'm really glad he's back playing for them again. And my friend unexpectedly met him and some of the other players, and she asked him to say hello to me and did a gif. So that was really nice.
Oh, that's lovely.
That was wonderful.
That
yeah.
is lovely. Well, let's hear some of this poetry now. So this is in the book Rhyme and Treason, Chelsea 2015 to 2016. You're going to read a couple of pieces for us.
Yeah, okay. I've never read this one out before, so I'll try not stutter and stumble too much. It's called Plastic Clear Out. And this was written the beginning of November last year. And anyone who knows anything about the Premier League will know that by then things were getting a little bit worrying, to say the least. And this is really about, it's a backlash against the kind of visiting tourists. Now, I'm not against any new fans coming in because everybody has to start somewhere. But a lot of us don't like the half and half scarves, and I just want to point out that it's not, I don't advocate violence in any way. I mean, I was at the London Stadium the other week and it was horrendous, West Ham versus Chelsea. I don't want to see those days back, but football is still nevertheless tribal, so we need you know, people to just to understand that we want to keep some of the tribal, you know. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to fight, but I don't want another the crest of another club around, you know,
no,
around my neck. So it's really about that. Come listen up, you plastic fan. We need to have a chat. With your two-crest scarf around your neck and your fancy day-trip hat, welcome to the real world where you have no right to win. where things can go against the team and frustration settles in. We older fans spent many years in dark and dismal places, but we still went and kept our faith with other loyal faces. Welcome to the real world, where defeat can be the norm, but you don't deserve the glory if you cannot stick the storm. Some fans of other clubs can only dream of all we've won. They'll never see those trophies that the likes of us have done. Support is not just temporary, but form can come and go. It's not a brand you pick and choose. Your heart should tell you so. You don't deserve the sunshine if you cannot stand the rain. Success is not a guarantee, and sometimes there'll be pain. You don't deserve the next parade if you cannot climb the hill. Where would you be if we went down? I know the ones who will. Of course the loyal will have their moan, will mutter, curse and grumble, and no one likes their team to lose and see the fortress crumble. But if you cannot ride the waves, please go and watch Man City or whoever wins the league in May, if you only like it pretty. Go and take your selfie someplace else and leave us loyal to sing, because we've walked this road before through every single thing. We want our ground to fill with fans who are constant, loyal and true. So gather up your half and halves, as this won't apply to you. We will come good, just like before, but we cannot name the day. So please, pick up your plastic hearts and stay the heck away. And when we're on our way back up, once more on winning track, we'll wave at you from your someplace else, because you won't be welcome back.
That's brilliant. And you got another one for us as well.
Yes.
I've left a message from Louise Wilson. She's texted in. She says, tell Caroline to tweet Tim Lovejoy and Sunday Brunch. Yes, he's there are lots of celebrity Chelsea supporters,
aren't there? Oh, yes, Tim Lovejoy. Yep. He's a great guy, yes. Yeah, absolutely. I should do that, actually. That's one person I don't think I have tweeted about.
He'd be up for it.
Yeah. This one's a bit strange. I don't know how much you know about football, but in the Premier League last year, it was a bit surreal. I mean, Leicester winning the league was something a bit special. And, you know, the rest of the world, apart from probably Tottenham at the time, because they were still in contention, really wanted them to. Because it was something else.
Yeah, it was a fairy tale, wasn't it? The underdog.
You know, we'd long gone. We weren't even there at the start, really. So the last game of the season was at home against Leicester, and we just kind of accelerated their pace, and they won the league on the night they didn't play because we beat Tottenham, and they were going to win it anyway. So then they came and they had their party, their final party day at ours at Stamford Bridge. So I wrote this poem called Someone Else's Party, because it was a bit strange. I mean, their manager was once our manager as well, whom we were very fond of.
Yes, lots of crossover.
Yeah, but it was a bit strange. At someone else's party, there were blue flags flying high, but they were someone else's waved aloft towards the sky. We were the guests in our own backyard, no goodie bags, no cakes, but still applause rang all around for Ranieri's sake. He was a dead man walking once, but now he's much revered. 1,000 might have beens in the minds of the Chelsea fans who cheered. At someone else's party, it was someone else's day, and we were left with lots unknown. Will Mr. Chelsea stay? And yet, this love affair we know will never end. Each hurtful season will repair, each sorry heart will mend. For true supporters stick around, a diehard never strays. We're wedded to this club of ours, in heart and soul, always. We hope next season's party will be ours again to host, and we've fingers crossed for the signature of the man we need the most.
Thank you, Caroline. Thank you very much.
I just explained at the end, I probably should have explained at the beginning, that the man we need the most was a reference to John Terry, the captain, because he's been there so long and we felt we desperately needed his presence to stay in the dressing room. And he did sign for another year, so.
And all these poems are in the book Rhyme and Treason, Chelsea 2015 to 2016. People can find out more about you on your website, which is levellingtheplayingfield.wordpress.com.
Yes.
And you can buy that book, Rhyme and Treason by Carol Ann Wood, on Amazon.
Yes, certainly. Yep.
And you don't need to be a Chelsea fan, as we've heard. You don't need to be a Chelsea fan or even a football fan to enjoy what you've just been reading.
No, I mean, it was just something a bit different. I'm working on my next one at the moment, which isn't poetry, actually. It's going to be called Love Letters from the Stand. And it seems to be writing itself. It's basically an open letter to whoever I think needs an open letter writing to them after games.
Excellent. Well, you know, nobody can question your devotion. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at you. You've got blue spectacle frames and blue on your earrings. I'm assuming that's no coincidence. That's
not
accidental.
No, definitely not. No, blue watch.
A blue watch,
I mean, it's very unusual, actually, that I'm not actually wearing
a blue top. We'll let you off.
A Chelsea T-shirt or something. I mean, I've got four David Luiz ones at the moment, and I think my husband thinks, why does she need all those, you know?
He's
very good. He's making me a flag for a small flag that I can hold up for David Luiz at the moment. So
thank you, Mr. Carroll.
He's long suffering.
Before you go, I do want to ask you about another thing that you've been tweeting about, because I know you're very active on Twitter, the Save Our Library Books campaign.
Yeah, and I understand Daniel Zeichner, our local MP, is there this morning, but it clashed with my appearance here. Otherwise, I think I would have been over there as well.
And this is about protecting the libraries in Cambridge.
It's so important.
Important issue for you.
Yeah, it is. It is. It should be for every writer and every reader. It really should. Because, you know, not everybody's got the money even to, especially at the moment, to go out and buy new books or to even buy second-hand books, you know, from charity shops. I mean, that's always another option. But we need libraries. And, we just can't allow more to close.
No, they're a hub of the community, aren't
they? Yeah, definitely, for all kinds of reasons.
Well, thank you, Caroline. It's been lovely talking to you.
Thank you very much, Lee.
Just that website again, levellingtheplayingfield.wordpress.com is Caroline's own website. The name of the book, Rhyme and Treason, Chelsea 2015 to 2016, which you can buy on Amazon. Who are you playing on Saturday?
We're not playing anyone. It's international weekend.
It's international, of course. It's an international tonight.
Mr. Nonfretti is taking me up to Middlesbrough. He's obviously not going to the game, but we're going to be staying in Whitby for a couple of days.
Lovely,
so every now and again,
Whitby,
if there's an away game that's somewhere nice, and because he's a Yorkshire lad, he thought that one was all right.
Yeah, Whitby is beautiful. Well, enjoy.
Thank you.